Would turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2, or you can follow along on the screen. It'll be up there in just a moment. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. Before we get into our study tonight, I just want to say how much Dickie and I have enjoyed being with all of you once again. It's just a real thrill to come out here and to the southwest in the fall months, and I wish it had been a little cooler, as it has been in the past, but I hear it's going to get to 99 tomorrow. I'm sure, though, we're going to go back to a cool Texas knot. But it'll be a completely different heat where we're going, and with the humidity and all, but hopefully it won't be too bad when we return home. But we're so glad to be with all of you again, and appreciate the elders for their support and encouragement that they give to me and to Vicki. And the confidence that they have shown in asking us to come and just to be a part of this. And I believe starting out on Friday night is very enjoyable, that we can work together on our worship as we better ourselves in being worshipers of God when it comes to our singing, and then get together again on Saturday afternoon and to worship God and to glorify Him together. And then starting the meeting on Sunday, it's been a very encouraging time for the two of us to be with all of you. And we want to thank so much Maurice and Joyce Baker for putting us up for the last few days. We just have, we always enjoy being in their home. They're just a wonderful people to be around, and I could just say a lot about them, and it'd be all good. And but we've known them for many, many years. And, of course, there's one in here that I've known for, Dick and I have known for many years, and that's Hugh. Hugh, you're a real friend to us, and we love you. And his parents and our parents, my parents, Vicki's parents, have all known each other for way over 40 years, 45 maybe. It goes back a long time. And we have just thoroughly enjoyed our times together from time to time. And I could go on and talk about others that are here that I've known for a long time. And I'd be getting myself in trouble if I continued on and started talking about Ronnie and Michelle. But I'm not going to go there. So I've known them for a long time. But I won't go there. Russ and Dinah Hewlett. And, you know, there's so many here that we have just gotten so close to. And by the way, I mentioned Russ and Dinah. I think they're probably the only couple people from Country Club Barreau that have come by and stayed with us, and it's taken all these years. No, am I wrong in that, Vicki? Okay. Well, Maurice and Joyce, they haven't been by, have they? Well, I was in Berlin. I don't remember them coming by where we are. But anyway, if I'm sorry if that's the case. See, I get in trouble when I start talking about things like this. But they came by, Russ and Diana, back in the summer after we got out of singing school together, and I thought they never would leave. They enjoyed being with us so much, they stayed an extra night. No, we encouraged them to stay. And we just had a real good time being together. And isn't it wonderful to be in the family of God, that we just that we can just enjoy our times together as we travel through life, longing for a much better place beyond this life, and that being in heaven one day. Titus 2, starting with verse 9. Paul writes to Titus saying, "Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." You'll notice there in verse 10 where Paul says that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. When you look at the context, it's been written to those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Even bondservants are told to be obedient to their own masters, not answering back, not talking back, not pilfering, not stealing from their masters, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God. Adorning the doctrine of God. What does that mean, to adorn the doctrine of God? Adorn means to be an ornament, to add luster, to beautify. One translation puts it this way, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. As we live as Christians, as we are going about our lives daily, we are to make our lives in such a way that are attractive to others, in that we follow Jesus Christ, that others will take notice as they see it in our lives. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, in you. Christians are to be lights to the world, as we sang a few moments ago. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Paul said in Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. In 1 Peter 2:11-12, Peter says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God. Which they observe. That which they see in you. In Philippians 1:27, Paul again says to the Philippian brethren, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What is the gospel? Sometimes we'll say, well, that's the good news. That's the good message. Of what? Of whom? Well, of Christ. That's true. I like this definition even better because it goes deeper. The gospel is the good news of the kingdom of God and of salvation through Christ, to be received by faith on the basis of His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Some Christians hinder the gospel. Paul even mentioned that in 1 Corinthians 9:12. He says, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. That word hinder means lest we disrupt it, lest we hold it back from keeping it going forward. And some Christians do, by the way in which they live their lives, where they are not adorning the doctrine of God. Paul said in Philippians 3:17-19, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, those who are not adorning the doctrine of God, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Setting our mind on earthly things is not adorning the doctrine of God. Folks, people in the world read us before they read this. Your neighbor is reading you maybe before they ever open this book. You've heard it be said before, some might say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. They're reading us. And maybe before they ever read the book. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul is commending the brethren at Corinth. He says, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Now we'll go back to Titus 2. Titus 2 tells us how to adorn the doctrine of God. How to adorn the doctrine of God. Look at verse 12. That we should live soberly. That we should live righteously. That we should live godly in the present age. This is how we adorn. This is how we beautify or add luster in our own lives toward those outside of Christ. And even those that are within. As we encourage one another to adorn the doctrine of God. Notice, first of all, living soberly. That's really showing respect for yourself. I think we all understand what the word sober means. To be sober is being of sound mind, of a serious mind, of good judgment. A person like that doesn't have any regrets or any guilt when they're sober. When they are of good mind, sound mind, they can respect themselves for being that way. But we are to love ourselves. And some might say, well, wait a minute, aren't we to love God? Certainly we're to love God. In Matthew 22, verse 39, Jesus told the lawyer, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's okay to love yourself, to respect yourself. And first of all, we love God. Ephesians 5 verse 28 says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Soberly, as I said, is being of sound mind. You know, there's a phrase used a lot throughout the Bible. It's called, take heed to thyself. Take heed to thyself. Pay attention to yourself. Look at yourself. Look within. Moses told Israel, as we read in Deuteronomy 4 verse 9, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. And they forgot what God had done for them. They forgot what they had seen with their eyes, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Forgetfulness is a common weakness of man. And they are warned not to forget God of what they had seen and heard. They are told, take heed to yourself. Take notice of self. Even over the New Testament, we read where Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 verse 16, Timothy, take heed to yourself and the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I know when I went into preaching full time in 1990, here I was at the age of 37, having worked a career on the Santa Fe Railroad for about 18 years. And I asked my father, at the age of 37, what kind of advice could you give me, Dad? And he told me what Paul told Timothy. Take heed to yourself. Be an example, as Paul told Timothy elsewhere in the letter he wrote to him. You be an example. This verse is setting forth the idea that conveys a very familiar saying. You practice what you preach. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. Timothy was to take heed unto himself, his practice, and unto the doctrine or teaching that which he preached. How often? All the time. He says, continue in them. It's not an occasional thing. It's not something you do on Sunday when you get up and stand before the audience, the members to preach a sermon to them. My dad was telling me, and I knew this already, I had already been taught this way before. Always be an example. But it doesn't hurt to be reminded. Even now, all of us. This kind of life, as Paul was telling Timothy, would benefit two groups. Himself and the hearer. Those who heard him. And that's because such a life would be carrying out the conditions on which a man may be saved and convincing others to do the same. Just by looking at their life of what they practice in their daily life. James 1 verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. To visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. When we keep ourselves unspotted from the world, that's adorning the doctrine of God. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul told the Corinthian brethren, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? The child of God who lives soberly adorns the doctrine of God. The child of God who lives soberly, who meets God's standard, adorns the doctrine of God. And those who refuse to be sober-minded do so much harm to the gospel of Christ. They hold it back. They're holding it back. And they do so much harm to themselves and their families and those who know them that are trying to do the right thing. Here's something else to help us in adoring the doctrine of God. As Paul told Titus, live righteously. Yes, live soberly. Live righteously. Show respect for others. Loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. In Romans 13, verse 8 through 10, Paul told the brethren at Rome, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul had concern for others. You'll notice in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 through 23. Paul says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might, by all means, save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. For the sake of the gospel. He says, I'm doing this for the sake of the gospel message. I want you to notice 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, loving and respecting our fellow man is great. It's a great thing. Matter of fact, it's greater than all the spiritual gifts that are mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 12. Let me start with verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now go into chapter 13 with me. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Let me just keep reading. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. You look at verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Love. Love for others. Concern for others. Why? So that we might lead others to Christ. So that they too can adorn the doctrine of God. That's the only way we can adorn the doctrine of God is being obedient to God. Obeying the gospel of Christ. There was a couple years ago in Ontario, California. Some of you remember Brother Hoyt Houchin. His parents were members of the church in Ontario. I remember hearing from someone back when I was a teenager about Brother and Sister Houchin. They were just good, humble servants. Hugh, did you know them? I met them. But my understanding was that those who lived on their block, many, if not all of them at one time, had obeyed the gospel of Christ because of their adorning the doctrine of God. They were so good to their neighbor. They were tending to their needs physically, but also spiritually. They showed in their own lives, through their own lives, to others around them, that there was something much greater than the material world. But spiritually speaking, they led many people to Christ because they practiced what they preached. They love their neighbor as themselves. They were adorning the doctrine of God. What a great example. The doctrine of God is enhanced by a beautiful life that will practice what it preaches. I should have had Russ Lee tonight, others. Song number 92 in your hymn book. You can look at that later if you want to, but words that just fit so well right here. And then, here's the other thing that Paul mentioned to Titus. And how to adorn the doctrine of God is to live godly. To live godly. To show respect for God. You know, we started this series on Sunday morning talking about caring. They cared more than the bones of Joseph from Egypt into the promised land. One of the things that they carried was Joseph's godliness. He had a respect for God. Last evening, the question that we had for our title for our lesson was, what kind of people confess their sins? Godly people do. Living godly. Showing respect for God. Godly people show reverence for God's Word. In Psalm 119, listen to the words of the psalmist. In Psalm 119, beginning with verse 97. Oh, how I love Your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your precepts, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Godly people show reverence for God's word. They love it. Sweeter than honey. Godly people show reverence for God in prayer. Jesus spoke in a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Luke 18. The Bible teaches as well, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians we read, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We are encouraged to pray. That keeps us close to God. It's our way of communicating with God. We started off talking about godly people have reverence for His Word. That's the way He communicates with us. And we communicate with Him through prayer. We need to. We need to stay close to God so that we can continue to adorn the doctrine of Christ. Jesus prayed. The Son of God prayed all the time. If we're going to be like Jesus, we need to pray more. Godly people show reverence for God by living holy and pure lives. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 3, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hebrews 12, verse 14 teaches us, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. 1 Peter 1 teaches us to be holy, for I am holy. 2 Peter 3, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? You know, I don't know what makes the gospel look uglier than an ungodly member of God's family. I've seen a few of those in my lifetime. Those who profess to be a Christian, to be in the family of God, and living a life that's so ungodly. That's not helping to further the gospel of Christ. Not one bit. And when you live in a small community like we live in, of 1,200 people, where everyone knows everything about everyone, I'm going to tell you what, it hurts the cause of Christ. But even in a large community, even within your neighborhood, even with those that you work with, or even among your own family members, if you're trying to reach someone in your family with the gospel of Christ, and you're living a life of ungodliness, you might as well hang it up. That's disrupting the gospel of Christ. That's hindering it. And I don't want to come to the end of my life and face God as one who hindered the doctrine of God. Godly people show reverence for God by trying to save those that God so loved. The lost. Notice with me in Acts chapter 8. After the death of Stephen, there were those who were scattered in Jerusalem. Following the death of Stephen, there were those who were scattered and went everywhere preaching. Preaching what? The Word. The doctrine. The Gospel. It wasn't just the apostles. It was people. It was people who had obeyed Christ. And people, those people, loved Jesus. They wanted to spread the Word about Him. And no doubt it was seen in their lives, the way they lived their life. Paul told Timothy to preach the Word, to be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. When I see that, be ready in season and out of season, I like it this way. As if Paul is telling Timothy, you preach it when they like it, when they don't like it. And there are times when we have to get up and preach things that maybe we're not just real comfortable about doing. But we know we got to do it. And that's where we ask God, help me. Help me. Give me the strength, the courage to speak things that are going to be encouraging to some, but that's going to rebuke some. As we talked about last night, Nathan rebuked David. I mean, he got right into his face and said, you are the man. And David needed that. And there are times when I have sinned, when I have said something that has discouraged someone, someone has come to me and say, what you said and the way you said it, you might not have meant for it to come across the way that it did, but you really hurt them. And I needed that so that I could correct it. Say it maybe in a different way. Say it in a way with love in my heart. We can still rebuke, but we rebuke with love in our hearts. Letting people know that we care. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul told the Ephesian brethren, Ephesians 2, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are God's fellow workers. You're God's field. You're God's building. Folks, the gospel is beautiful. The gospel of Jesus Christ is beautiful, but it is more attractive to those who are lost in sin when it is properly adorned. When we live lives that are sober, when we live lives that are righteous before God and before our neighbor, when we live godly, showing respect and reverence for God. That's how we adorn the doctrine of God. We must adorn the doctrine of God in order to save ourselves, in order to save others. If there's anyone here tonight in this audience who needs to respond to Jesus Christ, here's the opportunity once again. Singing this song is to encourage anyone to respond to Jesus. What a Savior. What a Savior. If you have not obeyed Jesus Christ, why don't you do so tonight? Do you know Him? If you don't know Him, you should not respond tonight. But get to know Him. And get to know Him quick. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. We have no guarantee of the next hour. It's important to get to know Christ and know why He came to this earth and died for you and died for the world. for the sins of the world. Turn your life to Him. If you believe in Him, you turn your life to Him and you confess Him and you do what He said for you to do, is have your sins washed away in order to be saved. And that way you can begin a new life. Become a new creature in Christ. And live the rest of your life living faithful to Him, adorning the doctrine of God. Any that are here tonight, if you need to respond in any way, if you're a child of God and you feel that you need to respond now, why don't you do so? Don't put it off. Come now while we stand and sing.